Hello. Welcome to show number 3 of Global Perspectives with Dr. Michael Lightman, where we discuss what's happening in the world today. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Shalom lekulam.
Hello, everyone.
Today's topic is the value of money. We see that there are many turmoils happening all over the world with money, with oil prices, with the economy in general. And things are changing. I want to quote, before we continue, some of the things that have been happening around the world. Jared Dillian wrote on Bloomberg, for example, former Fed Chairman Paul Volcker once said in an interview that it is a governmental responsibility to maintain the value of the currency they issue. And when they fail to do that, and apparently he thinks that now they're failing to do that, it is something that undermines an essential trust in government. Fox Business reported on Monday about the crashing of American oil prices, which dropped to nearly minus 40 U.S. dollars. And Neil Irwin wrote for the New York Times, "It is the end of the world economy as we know it." There are numerous other reports about mammoth sums of money being poured into the markets in order to ease the shock of the coronavirus crisis. In fact, so much money is being poured into the market that repaying the debt is completely impractical, and no one really expects it. In many ways, these debts will be a lot like the U.S. national debt. Dozens of trillions of dollars in debt. No one even expects that they will ever be paid back. All this is accompanied by a worldwide recession that's comparable only to the ones that struck during World War II and the Great Depression. Dr. Lightman, if this is the case all over the world due to the coronavirus pandemic, then what is the value of money at all today? Dr. Lightman, the microphone.
We need some kind of equivalence for everything that we do. How can we compare kilogram of fish and building some skyscraper, putting together a band, or traveling to the end of the world? We need, for each and every exertion of ours, for whatever we produce, we need some kind of common equivalent, a gram of gold, a dollar, something. Otherwise, we can't be connected with each other. So how do you do it? We worked on this for thousands of years until we have reached some kind of common coefficient, which is the dollar.
That's exactly my question, because now we see that money is becoming worthless in the sense that people have no money because of the crisis. They've been forced to go home. So the government is printing more and more money. So money becomes meaningless in that sense. Governments can just print indefinitely. So where is this going? It's not like gold that either you have it or you don't have it. Dollars you can print as many as you want. So where are we going with this?
Ken.
Yeah. This is the problem. That about 70 years, 60 years ago, more or less, the connection between the dollar and gold was disconnected, and any government can play around with the dollar however it wants to. This is the beginning of the collapse of all of our businesses in the world, that since then, the devaluation began. It only went and grew.
It becomes meaningless. Then how will people pay for things? How will they barter? Will they exchange, I don't know, one cow for two sheep? Or will they go back to the gold standard? What do you see happening?
I think that we are on the verge of a much greater problem than exchanging the principle of gold or money or anything else, or the kilograms of printed dollars, or here we have a much greater problem that here we have to consider each and every person, all of our exertion, what are we doing it for? We have to think, what will the world be like after the corona? That, for example, we won't want to go back to the same world of shopping and competition and everything, but to bring people to a more balanced form of life, because nature is demanding us to finally start to arrange the world in such a way that we will not destroy our environment so much that we're truly destroying nature. And so it's not a matter of how will we know how to compare each and everyone's investment in the general product after the corona. But it's about how do we change the rules of the game, the rules of the connection between us all together. That we will demand a different kind of relationship or different kinds of relationships between people, so that we won't compare how much I produce and how much you make. That's something that we have to leave altogether. There's no economy that's based on how much everyone produces. There's no such thing. Because you'll have millions of unemployed, and you'll have billions of unemployed, and there's nothing that you'll be able to do. Otherwise, you'll have to give them something. Otherwise, it endangers your life. And therefore, we have to change man's attitude altogether.
That's exactly my point, because the economy isn't just about buying things. It's also about people's values. And how we evaluate people, how we appreciate them. For example, up until now, or maybe even now still, we appreciate people by what they have. How much they have, how many houses, how many cars, what cars, consumerism, how much power they have. In the absence of jobs, and when money becomes meaningless, how will we evaluate people? Because the economy reflects the connections between us. So how will we relate to people?
So this economy is wrong. It's not good. The kind of economy that you're telling me about now isn't good. We were sitting at home for a month now. We're at home. Great. Now we're starting to gradually leave home, but those leaving home are those that need to go out in order to provide us with our basic needs, which is industry, heavier, lighter industry, electronics, different things. It's things that have to do with the food industry, medicine, everything. But only the necessary things, things that are necessary for the existence of human society. These are the people that go and do and work. And as many hands as they need in order to help them, accordingly, we all leave our homes and come to them in order to help. So that everyone will be able to bring home what we usually bring from the supermarket. Both clothes, clothes and food and basic needs, and no more. We don't want to take from nature more than we need for our, in order to cover for our basic needs. And so we continue, we go on with life, and we don't want to play around with money, with the stock markets, with different investment companies. No. We're doing everything that we need in order to meet our basic needs.
I understand that people will have what they need, the basic things they need. It's not a problem to produce the basic needs for everyone. But the economy isn't just about producing what people need for their sustenance. The economy today is what creates value of people. We connect in this way and we appreciate people according to their financial success. And in the absence of financial success, how will we evaluate people? When power doesn't matter, when money doesn't matter, how will we know which person to appreciate more or less? By what standard?
To the measure to which a person invests in order to bring society their necessary basic needs accordingly. We value him. Besides, we'll be engaged in the correct connection between us, and only this way can we get rid, chase away these viruses that are going to come to humanity one after the other. And then when we will connect correctly with one another in a friendly way, and this will fill all of our free time, then by that we will know how to appreciate each and every person, no matter who he is, that he's working with us on our connection, that by this we build a healthy society without crime, without prostitution, without anything that we have to be afraid of or to be ashamed of. We have to finally take care of ourselves and to be called a human society. And not just that everyone's just proud about, brags about being greater, better than others. We have to stop with these things altogether by depleting Earth from all of its natural resources, by wanting to be better and greater than others. We're depleting nature. We're destroying the ecology. There's nothing to it besides stinky pride that anyone who makes it a bit feels.
What do you mean when you say that we will be working on having the right connections? You said that we will be busy building the right connections between us. Can you explain that?
This is also what it says in the Torah, that to be as one man and one heart, and my home shall be called a home of prayer or a house of prayer for all nations, a house of prayer for all nations, that all of us all around the planet will be able to pray together, that we'll be able to get rid of all of our weapons, that what did we make them for in order to get rid of each other? Look what the corona does. Look what this virus does. It really went over everyone and everything and really subordinated everyone. So, who and what are we? The next virus will come and will close us at home altogether, so you won't be able to go out at all. You'll starve. You'll starve to death, and these viruses, they will come and they will degrade us. They will make us lower than animals. So, this is how we need for nature to teach us what to do. And we see that once we leave nature alone, we let it be, it comes back to life. There are different forms, species that come back that we thought that were gone altogether, that we've destroyed them. No. They're actually starting to reappear from the depths of nature. You have wolves that come to our parks. Fish are jumping in the ocean. It was beautiful to see that throughout this month, that people just moved away from nature, kept away their filthy hands from nature. Look what happened. Why do we have to be this way? And tell me, please, who enjoys it altogether? Who enjoys this? Show me. We've created for ourselves some kind of a false scale, that the one that enjoys more is the one that suppresses others, that becomes greater than others. What? I think that these viruses that are sweeping through the world, we're not yet aware of this, but they're teaching us how the way we measure things, who's greater, who's smaller, it's all changing.
A lot of people are saying that the virus is a kind of a punishment for our treatment of nature. You are, I think, unique in that you say, at least as I understand it, that the virus came to us because of our mistreatment of each other. Can you explain that? First of all, is this correct? And second, how is the virus connected to our mistreatment of each other?
This is the second question. The first question is, we see that the virus, even though that is just a biological particle, when it comes and dresses in us, it closes us, it degrades us, it pushes us away from each other, it forces us to behave differently, it changes us, because we too are biological beings. And the virus is a biological being, and when it clothes and starts directing us differently, we feel the changes. It even influences our line of thought, everything. I see in this influence of the virus over us very far results.
On the results, I mean. And the results of the virus.
Results that I see, that even though that the virus is a biological component, but it influences us on the human level. We're changing. That we're sitting at home, we're changing. That we're distancing ourselves from nature, we're changing. We're distancing ourselves from one another, we're changing. Even though that we're biological creatures, but on the level of behavior, we're human beings. And here we have to see how much can we act, or how can we act differently.
Need to understand if you think that the appearance of the coronavirus is a result of our bad relationships with people, not toward nature but toward people. Why?
Undoubtedly.
Why?
It's because the main thing is the connection, that the connection between us is wrong, that we want to destroy society by this, the environment. We don't care about what goes on with the still vegetative and the animate. We're willing to destroy the entire planet if it were possible, and we're doing it as much as we can, as much as we're let to. And therefore, nature is a very complex mechanism that by the disorder that we insert into it, into this mechanism, it also responds accordingly. And this is nature's response, that it comes to us and really inserts us with this virus according to our crimes against the integral nature.
I want to go back to the original topic of this conversation, the value of money. With all the shelter-in-place and stay-home policies that were enacted basically all over the world, money became, as we said, pretty much meaningless. But what will make people change their values? Will the abolition of money change how we relate to one another? I'm not sure I explained the question. Go ahead.
Al Adam,
man can be influenced only through blows, suffering, because we are egoistic, sensing beings, and this is what happens to us. If we get the blows, then we'll try to avoid these blows, and accordingly we'll change. That's obvious. And this is how nature will teach us, educate us. Now, this is also how we teach our children, how we educate them. We put pressure on them, and they change. If we put pressure and they don't change enough, we put more pressure, apply more pressure. Same thing here. And nature has many means by which to put pressure on us and change us. All in all, we are feeling beings, very gentle, subtle, and therefore things are going to be grim. I don't see a good future for humanity in its first steps toward, according to its first steps toward correction, because we're still leaving in power, in government, the same egoistic people that were always there. That still there is crony capitalism, and we want to keep these things going until we'll change these foundations, that we will relate to our life differently. The viruses will not leave us. We are entering a new era.
Change the government? How do you
change? We'll change our attitude toward life, and as a result, of course, governments will change. Through elections, you don't need to have here any kind of big revolutions. We need different people to stand at the top of governments, countries, society, that these won't be people that will be in pursuit of power and control and dominion, but that they understand that they have to give the people a balanced, good, nice existence. That's it.
You often speak about the end of capitalism, the end of the control of money and power and governance, which you just mentioned. And instead, you talk about installing a government of socialism, but you emphasize that it's not the socialism we know, but a different kind of socialism. Can you explain what you mean by a governance of socialism the way you see it?
Social governance or governance of socialism is about equality, that we build a society, like I just said, that we sit at home, that the coronavirus doesn't let us go out, doesn't let us leave home. But gradually, now, we are releasing those people that we need in order to provide for our basic needs, meaning those that make food, that plant, that, and afterwards turn all of these crops and meat and everything into the food that we need. Them we need. Doctors we need. Construction workers we need. But we have to give everyone equally.
What does it mean equally?
Equally means that a person, no matter where he works, he receives the same sum of money, or not even money. There is no money anymore, so he gets a box with food, and this is what he lives off. He has electricity, of course, and medical services and everything else for free. And food. Without that, we can't exist. So, we are demanding of people to come and participate in different kinds of work, each according to his profession, each according to what he can. And all of this is divided into basic needs for everyone, but basic needs, because whatever is beyond that destroys nature. I don't think that it's communism. I think that it is a regime, a social order that is in balance with nature.
In Russia, in Soviet Russia, that a similar regime was basically forced on people.
Legamre lo dome.
Not similar in any way. And I come from there, so I know. The difference is that there, they thought that they are building something like I just said, but actually came to power a group of interested parties that forcefully inserted what they wanted. And first and foremost, they weren't concerned with everyone to have what they need equally in a good and nice way, but to raise their pride and control, rule the entire world. We see the Russian forcefulness, something well known around the world, doing things forcefully. And there they cause the competition, the arms race.
What was done, but more in why it was done.
Because it was done without changing human nature first. We didn't change human nature. Man remained an egoist as he was. And this is something that we didn't talk about yet, but as a result of people working on their basic essential needs in order to provide everyone with what they need, clothes, food, all those things that we have now, only in a balanced way that, as we say, isn't praised or condemned, but what you need. Besides that, we need to massively teach people this ideology of what does it mean to be in balance with nature, because otherwise nature will destroy us. These viruses exist in nature endlessly, and we won't be able to withstand them.
We could get into that more and more. But in Soviet Russia, as well as in kibbutzim in Israel, and I know because I come from one, the problem was that without the incentive of money, people just didn't work. There was no production. What will make people motivated to work in the absence of money as an incentive?
Yachas shel hachevra eleihem.
The attitude of society toward them. Society's attitude toward them, besides that there are more inner incentives from nature, that a person that is directly connected with nature, that gives to and receives from nature in a balanced way, he also merits starting to feel the inner mechanism of nature. And this way he starts feeling a life that is even above, beyond nature. And we'll talk about this next time.
A lot more to talk about, and it sounds like an opening for another very interesting show. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman, for your time. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you again on Global Perspectives. Thank you all, and until the next time, bye.
Kol tov.
All the best.